Hi, folks. Nathan Pierce here. We're getting into full swing in the California State Legislature. Things are very busy here in Sacramento, and we have a few bills that we're already engaged in, and there are some that we're still investigating, and there are a huge chunk of bills that are what I would call a spot bill, something that doesn't have the ultimate language in it yet. And so we are still waiting, and day by day we're getting more bills with the amended language being inserted into it. Even though the deadline for bills to be introduced was last month, many bills were introduced pretty much as an empty bill, about a third of a page that has room for the bill to be put into it, but it doesn't really have any text yet. So as those get amended and the bills get the text, the code language gets put into those bills, we are evaluating those, we're analyzing them, and we're interacting with legislators' offices to try to understand best how we can engage with those and what bills are most necessary for us to look at. So we're kind of triaging at this point and getting involved in some bills. So that's going on here in Sacramento, and I want to talk with you about a few issues and give you some updates on some things. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline.
All right, so first I want to talk about the MHSA, the Make Homeschool Safe Act. There's a couple of articles out on this, some by Homeschool Legal Defense Association and some by our office. Family Protection Ministries is concerned about the Make Homeschool Safe Act, which is a proposed model bill that has not yet been introduced in California, but is something that has been proposed to be introduced in every state in the union. And that means that it could be seen here in California, and it could be seen in any other state. It's only been portions of it or have been introduced in a couple of other states. But the idea is that children in homes are not necessarily safe. Specifically, homeschool family homes are not safe. And so we need to have more legislation to restrict who is allowed to homeschool, how that homeschooling can take place, and what needs to happen if the state doesn't like the type of instruction. So this is a very dangerous piece of legislation, very dangerous proposal, very, very restrictive, and it's something that we need to be very aware of, something that we need to be watching out for, and something that we need to be preparing against. And we have a number of ways that you can get involved to prepare against this type of thing. But in the meantime, we'll get into some other pieces of legislation and some other topics of discussion. A little bit later, we're going to talk a little bit about ESAs and some of the things going on with that, both here in California and across the country. We're going to talk a little bit about some other pieces of legislation that have come up here in California. So a bit on ESAs, education savings accounts. Here at Family Protection Ministries, we oppose education savings accounts, or ESAs, not just for specific programs, but on principle. While we may retain a position of being neutral in cases where we don't expect a bill to pass or a ballot initiative to gain traction, we still do oppose the use of government funds for private homeschooling. One primary concern is that ESAs could immediately or eventually restrict the freedom of homeschooling families. FPM does monitor ESA-related legislation and ballot initiatives very closely, as our mission is to defend the right of parents to train, educate, and care for their children privately without government interference. So after thorough analysis together with HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, we at Family Protection Ministries do not support ESA legislation due to concerns that its passage would lead to increased government control over private homeschooling. So this is our position. and it's been our position for some time. We have had many questions about whether we would change our position if something were changed in the writing of it. I don't think there's anything that could be done that could change our position on this, because usually the concern or the question that we get is, well, what if we write into the bill that nothing else, no other bills can be written on this topic? Well, that's kind of ridiculous, because whether it's changing the codes, the statutes, or whether it's changing the state constitution, these things are changed all the time, and there's nothing you can do to say they won't ever be changed again. So it's that's not something that could be done. So it's not really a portion of this that we can really bring into the conversation. There's always going to be more legislation written. As you know, in California, we have a lot of legislation every single year. And if it were just as simple as saying no more bills on this topic, plenty of different entities would be promoting legislation that would say just that. But that doesn't work, because we pass more legislation. So one more point on this. When you do have ESAs, and some states have passed them, the state government also, when they hand you that ESA account and they allow you to not pay taxes on the funds that you place into that account, it is your money, you're putting your own money into this savings account, and the benefit, the perk, is that you're not having to pay taxes on it. That's what the education savings account concept is. And in other cases, you might have an education savings account where government funds go into it. They function a little bit differently depending on who's writing the bill. But when you have these programs, the government controls what you're allowed to do with the money once it's in that account. So you earned the money, then you put it into this account, but now the account is controlled by what the government says you're allowed to use it for. So essentially, they're letting you put your money into a box, and then they're handing you a clipboard full of rules and saying, you have to follow these rules before you're allowed to take your own money out of that box. And in many cases, throughout the country, when these bills go into practice, they add more rules to that list as time goes on. So you don't know if your money is going to be allowed out of that box based on today's rules, or whether it's going to be tomorrow's rules or the next day's rules, because they can always change the rules. So it's generally best to maintain control of your own money and not put it in a box for the government to decide what you're allowed to use it for. So we encourage folks not to be pursuing ESAs, both here in California and across the nation. But ultimately, we're focused here in California, and we're saying right now, we are not supporting ESAs. And if you're interested in looking into it further, we have a number of articles on our website about ESAs. If you go to fpmca.org and check out our articles on ESAs. Before we get into the legislation, I do want to point out that our governor, Governor Newsom, has launched a new podcast. You may have heard of it. His goal is to really interview people in his podcast who disagree with him, people that are opposed to him or opposite him on the political spectrum. That is going to be interesting to see. I don't know ultimately his goals for where that he hopes that to take him. He does definitely have political ambitions. He has definitely moved forward in politics over the last number of years. And so that's something to keep an eye on. And it's something that can be very entertaining. So you might want to check that out if watching Governor Newsom is something that you find interesting. If you get tired of it, that wouldn't surprise me either. But it can be frustrating to watch some of this back and forth in politics, because it can be aggravating to see people argue about things that seem so common sense or obvious what the right answer is. But nevertheless, Governor Newsom has started this podcast, and he has he has released the first few episodes. So that's something that you could check out if you're interested. One thing before we get into legislation is some political shifts that have happened here in Sacramento. The Speaker of the California State Assembly, Robert Rivas, has changed up some of the authority structure in some committees recently due to Republicans being outspoken on some issues relating to conservatives versus Republicans versus Democrats, and how the Democrats are controlling things tightly in the California State Legislature. Five key Republicans, Bill Asaley, Alexandra Machado, David Tengipa, Joe Patterson, and Carl DeMaio, have all been removed from vice chairmanships recently, positions of leadership, because of their outspoken positions on how the Democratic Party is running things in Sacramento. They've been removed from positions. New people will be filled, put in those roles. New Republicans will be put into those vice chairmanships. But these kinds of shifts, it's what I would call petty politics. It's basically retribution for speaking their minds about politics. And because the Democrat Party, and particularly Robert Rivas, has the ability and the control to be able to assign chairmanships and vice chairmanships in committees, he is able to pull chairmanships away and vice chairmanships away from individual people. And that's the case here. He's removed people from these positions of authority in committees. So they've been pulled out of their leadership positions, and he will be replacing them with other members, other Republicans. And so this is something that happens from time to time. This is sort of a broad sweeping addition of this happening. There's five here in this particular news item, according to KCRA3. That's been reported across the board in various news outlets about how this has been happening. And ultimately, it is within Robert Rivas's power to do this and to be in charge of who gets to be the vice chairman of a committee. And so he's not without this power. It is power that he has, but it does disrupt the flow, and it disrupts the ability of legislators to do their jobs. And bringing in new people to serve in these leadership positions means that they are being pulled out of whatever else they were working on to do this new job. And so juggling people around and constantly changing their jobs and roles means that the Republicans are not as able to be focused on their work, and they're being sort of jerked around in terms of what their responsibilities are in the legislature. So it's a bit frustrating for them. So I would just encourage you along these lines that as you think about our leaders, they all need prayer, every single one of them. So consider putting our prayer list, our prayer calendar, our monthly prayer calendar that we send out on your fridge, and be praying for our leaders. They all need prayer, and they all need wisdom and patience with one another. So as you think of them, I would encourage you to pray for our leaders, as we ought to do regularly. All right, now let's go ahead and talk about a couple of pieces of legislation. First, I want to talk about a bill, AB 601 by Jackson, that is about child abuse reporting. And this bill makes some broad sweeping changes to how the structure of the child abuse reporting system in California broadens out types of individuals that will be trained for reviewing reports and doing investigations. And there's a pretty broad range of things that this bill does. Some of it's a little bit fuzzy still. I expect that this bill will be amended quite a bit as they try to figure out what exactly needs to be done. We've published other videos on YouTube about Mr. Jackson, so you could check those out to learn more about him. So that's AB 601. You could pray for wisdom for us on that and how to understand it, and that we'd be able to talk with the right people in his office to understand the goals there and how we can help to make that bill better. It's still early in trying to understand what the goals are and exactly how it's going to operate. So that's AB 601 by Jackson. Next, Strategic Planning Councils for Child Care. This is a bill, AB 563. AB 563 is also by Jackson, and this bill is sort of a big picture thing related to child care, early childhood education, and specifically government-funded child care programs. A planning council, sort of like a big picture look at getting a group of people together to talk about how we can make these kinds of things work better in our society. So that's AB 563. Next, let's look at AB 1454, which has to do with air conditioning and heating systems in school facilities. This is a bill that sort of carries over from a previous bill. This is a Rivas bill. Robert Rivas is the head of the California State Assembly. And this bill, we have seen other versions of this before. The concern is that the systems need inspections regularly, and this bill requires more oversight over how these systems are functioning. There has been concern in the past that campus school buildings have bad air inside them, and the air is not cleaned and filtered well, and that there may be fumes in the air, and so they're wanting these systems to be investigated and updated. And so 1454 kind of carries on from a previous bill that may impact private schools, and so we're looking at how can we work with them to make this bill not impact single family homeschool programs, so that we don't end up having to, you know, redo our heating and air systems. So I don't think it's a huge threat there, because I think they'll work with us on that, but it's something to be aware of and to pray for us on as well. There's a number of other bills that we're working on. This gives you sort of a taste of some of the things we're doing. Again, there's many more bills that are still in the process of getting amended and getting the language put into them. And so be praying for us that we'd be aware of everything and be able to understand motivations and the threat levels of each of these bills. So thank you so much for your support. As we continue on through this year, we'll be definitely interacting with a lot of legislative staffers, testifying in committee hearings, and working on amendment language with committee staff as well as legislative staffers. So be praying for us and with all of those meetings and interactions with those staff members. Be praying for our relationships with them, that they would go smoothly and that we would be able to be effective for homeschool freedom and for families in California. I do have an announcement about our government class that takes place in the fall, August through December. The government class sort of culminates as well in the Capitol Day that happens in early part of the following year. This year, 2025, we're launching our government class, and it consists of two separate classes, government class as well as a parallel class that is economics, and we encourage students to join with us and take that class. It's a very rigorous class. It really is a very higher level high school class, and we have a lot of reading of great books that help you understand the principles of government, and we go into the biblical principles of government and also how our government currently works. The same with economics, what the biblical principles are in economics and how it currently works in our system. But we also take it a step further than that. So we have a course in government and a course in economics. We give the students the basics of those two courses, anything that you would expect to find in a secular or a Christian class relating to those topics, government and economics. We teach it from a strictly biblical perspective, but the extra portion of that class is helping students to learn the practical, hands-on ways that they can make a difference in our government system today. So it has practical, how does the state and federal government work, and how can I be involved in it? How can my voice be heard in our government? And as you know, we're here at Family Protection Ministries. We're all about engaging people in advocacy. That's what we do here. And so we are adding that into, it's infused into these classes to help students come out the other end of these classes ready to make a difference, ready to engage in our government system, and ready to make a difference in our world today. So that's what we do here with these classes, Government and Economics for high school students. It's available for high school juniors and seniors, and we would encourage you to apply today. We are taking applications to enroll in these classes for the fall of 2025, and those classes will go, they will be held live over Zoom, and some will be in person. So students can join us either in person in the Sacramento area or online. And those classes are taking place Monday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon. So let us know if you have any other questions. You can contact us through our website, and you can also apply on our website as well. Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us today, and have a great week.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.